Anyway, turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 18. This is going to be interesting here today. Not probably a normal message that you would hear at about 95% of churches this morning. It seems weird. It seems weird to a lot of people when you start talking about things like this because they're not used to it. But I believe that this church, God has called us, He's called every church to do it, but biblical churches aren't doing it. But He has called every church to be in spiritual warfare. And we don't understand that, I don't think, in its fullest. We're going to learn about it more this year, as we have every year. For the last few years, we've been learning a lot about it. But one of the things that you have to understand is your home. There are such things as cursed objects, okay? There are such things as charged objects. There are things like that in the Bible that God talks about, and God warned us against them. Now, if God warns us against them, do you think that we ought to know what they are? Do you think it's important that we should obey every command of God when He gives it? Would you allow the enemy, if you knew, would you allow the enemy to get a foothold in your door? Would you allow that? If you knew that you had a mortal enemy, which you do, which is Satan, he is your enemy, okay? Would you allow any of his emissaries, any of his soldiers, or any of his, would you allow him to fly his banner in your home? Think about it that way. I guess that's a better way to look at it, isn't it? Would you allow Satan to fly his banner in your home? Well, of course, right off the bat, you would say, absolutely not. I would never let that happen. But have we? Or do we now? Are there things in our homes now that dishonor God and that could invite evil into our home? Now, some Christians are under this understanding, and we're going to talk about that more the next hour. But some Christians, what they believe is that, well, I'm saved, so the devil can't do anything to me. And the devil's kingdom can't do anything to me because I'm saved. That is a flat-out lie. And that's a lie that Satan wants you to believe. You know why? Because if he can get you to believe that he can't do anything to you, then you will go ahead and invite the accursed thing into your home, and you will end up reaping the rewards of that. And the rewards of that are not good. The fruit of that is going to be a lot of wicked activity and things like that. Some people don't believe that. They don't believe that. For some reason, something happened about 200 years ago in churches, about 150 years ago in churches. They stopped believing that the devil does anything anymore. That people aren't possessed anymore. Maybe it's because they stopped preaching on the streets. Because if you go on the streets, you really see people are possessed, okay? There's no doubt in your mind. When you see their faces twitch and their eyes look funny and they get all weird and their face starts going all strange when you're preaching to them, yeah, you can tell that there's people that have... When you see people screaming like the weirdest, strangest things that don't matter, when you see women doing crazy, new age, yoga-type, weird, scary dances in front of you, what is causing them to do that? The Word of God is. That's why. Because there is a spiritual war here. There is a war. And when you recognize that war, when you start going out there and fighting that war, the only way that you will grow in discernment and understanding and also power with God to fight the enemy is if you make no fellowship with him. The Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather approve them. So, no fellowship. Would you say if I took in an accursed object into my home, would you say that that would be fellowship with the devil or fellowship with it? I would say so. But what if I didn't mean to? I understand. But you still may have. Do you get that? Well, what I want to talk, this first message is going to be called Enchanters, Witches, and Cursed or Charged Objects. But I'm going to start where I always do with the Word of God. And I'm going to show you what the Bible says. Now, you may be one of these people that thinks, well, that was back in Bible land. You know, Bible land. Today we live in America. We don't live in Bible land anymore. Because that's what most people think. I'm sorry, but most Christians don't believe this book. They don't believe this. Like, they believe that everything that happened in the Scriptures don't happen now. Wait a minute. No, we are living this now. This is our life now. If it isn't, it's not all sufficient. That's right. And I don't even need it anymore then. If it's not for now, if it's not for me now, then why do I even need it? Why did God preserve it for me? Why did He inspire it and preserve it for me? And why do I have it today if I don't even need it? if this isn't reality. No, you think because you live in America that these things don't apply for some reason. Because we have been blessed with a lot of Christianity in America. We have been blessed with revivals in America. We have seen the power of God in this nation many times over. And we have seen biblical Christianity here and things like that. So we have somewhat of a protection against a lot of these things. But what we are not seeing is the fact that there is a war, and it has not been waged for a long time by most churches. They've not battled any of these things because they don't believe the Bible. They don't believe there's still witches today. I'm telling you, they don't believe that. Most Christians do not believe there are real witches today. They do not believe that there are real occultists. They do not believe that they have satanic power. They do not believe it. So in other words, they believe there's a kingdom of God, but they don't believe in the kingdom of darkness. When the Bible says Satan is the god of this world, what is he called? The prince of the power of the air. Why? Because he's a prince. That's why. We don't like to think, oh, I don't want to think about that. Well, then tell God not to put it in his word then, because he's the one that did it, okay? Listen. It's not biblical for you to walk around stupid. Do you understand that? It's not biblical for you to walk around ignorant and act like ignorance is bliss. And I don't have to know any of these things. So I'm just going to walk around this bubble and act like nothing's going on and just keep on keeping on and act like none of these things are affecting. No, they are. And I'm going to tell you something. It's going to get worse. We're seeing it out there, man. All you got to do is go to the streets. All you got to do is walk down those streets and watch the mentality of people. If God pulls his hand back any time, there could be lynchings and people killing Christians like that. Because the rise of satanic power is coming. It's here. It's been here for about 150 years strong. It's been there before that, by the way. But there's always been, God has always tried, he has always blocked it. He has always hindered it. He has always stopped it from reaching its full manifestation. Because it's not time yet. But we are seeing it now. And I'm going to show you in history where some people have seen some things. And these were preachers. These weren't crazy. These weren't crazy, unreliable sources of people that didn't love God and didn't live for God every day of their life. No, these are people that live for God and they saw what the devil could do. And anyway, so let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse number 10. And there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or daughter or his daughter to pass through the fire. Or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of all these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. And then in Jeremiah 27, verse number 9, therefore hearken not ye to your prophets, nor to your diviners, nor to your dreamers, nor to your enchanters, nor to your sorcerers, which speak unto you, saying, ye shall not serve the king of Babylon. So it's interesting, in different times we see those enchanters. And really what I want to talk to you about is enchanters, witches, and cursed objects. I want to show you what the Bible says about that. I want to give you some definitions of it. And I want to show you these things are real today. We ought not fear these things. We ought to war against them. Do you understand that? We don't have to fear them. Why? Because that old wicked serpent's under my feet. That's why. You just got to understand who you are in Christ Jesus. A child of the King. And this is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And he doesn't like it. He'll flee from it. The Bible says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Amen. He will leave you. He will run from you. Why? Because of this. That's why. And he'll take off. Why? Because he don't like it. Neither does his devils. They don't like it either. Why? Because they have no answer for it. They have no answer for it. And we've got to understand that. So I'm not preaching to you. You ought to go home and be scared. No, you ought to be going to be scared. You ought to go home and pray. Hey, man, that's what my family's doing. Ramp it up that prayer life and ramp it up that prayer in the church and ramp it up and get ready to fight that wicked serpent. Because that's the only way you're going to see the power of God. It's the only way you're going to see God do a mighty work. Is we're in a war, and we understand we're in a war, and we get it, and our eyes are open to it, and we are not ignorant of his devices. All right, well, what is an enchanter or a charmer? I want to give you just a definition, a simple definition, and we're going to go to the Word of God, and I'm going to show you a bunch more here. But to enchant Actually, it means to sing or to chant or cant or whatever. Also, but to practice sorcery or witchcraft on anything. To give efficacy to anything by songs of sorcery or fascination. Don't you find it fascinating that songs are used? See, here's where we've lost. The modern day sorcerers are musicians. We've lost sight of that. We don't get that. People are listening. That's right, muttering. We're listening to all these people. Christians today are sold out to the world. They are the friend of the world. And they're listening to all this garbage. And all these songs are nothing more than witchcraft songs. That's all they are. They're enchanting you. And they work. How do you know that, preacher? Well, because when I was a lost man, and you take music and you take booze and you can do anything. You take music and you take drugs and you can do anything. That's how I know that. An enchanter, to subdue by charms or spells, enchanting like elves and fairies. Interesting, huh? Enchanter, one who enchants, a sorcerer, a magician, one who has spirits or demons at his command. It's important. He thinks he has them at his command anyway. One who practices enchantment or pretends to perform surprising things by the agency of devils. Enchantment, the act of producing a certain wonderful effects by the invocation or aid of demons, or the agency of certain supposed spirits, the use of magic arts, spells, or charms, incantations. Let me ask you, do you pray to your God? Do you not believe they don't pray to theirs? Why? Why do you believe that? Some of them are more dedicated than some of you are. You didn't like that, did you? I'm going to say it again. Some of them are more dedicated than some of you are. Mm-hmm. Some of them pray to their gods more than you. Some of them practice their faith more than you practice yours. You think about that. Amen. That's a little too real, isn't it? Scary to know there's people out there that are actively fighting you. You don't think there's devil-possessed people right now in this city that are actively fighting what we're doing? You don't think they're praying against us? And coming to talk to you to see what you're about? Exactly. Oh, I'm a Wiccan, or I'm this, or I'm that. They come and they talk to you just to see what you're doing, to see if you're real, see if you're really their enemy, or you're just playing church. I'm sorry. This isn't the place for dress-up Christianity. Pick one! There's 12 of them in this city. You can go to any of those 12 churches and you can go play dress-up Christian. In fact, you can go to 90% of churches in America and you can go play dress-up Christian if you want to. But if you want to be at war, then put your armor on and go to battle for the Lord. And I'm fired up. I am. This is supposed to be an educational message. But it is. Yeah, it is. I'm supposed to teach. Amen. All right. Ooh, I'm getting. And Brother Nate, I ain't had any caffeine either. How about that, huh? Amen. Brother Bison, get excited over there. You had a cup of coffee this morning, didn't you? Okay, that's all right. I did have a Coke on Friday, though. It's terrible, I know. I wanted one, though. I did. That's. We'll have to pay the nutrition guy. Oh, I know, that's funny, isn't it? Anyway, I'm just giving you a hard time. I'm not preaching against coffee today, don't worry. I like it too much. Yeah, that's right. Keep you going, right? Okay, anyway, back to this. Charms. Words, characters, or other things imagined to possess some occult or unintelligible power. Hence, a magic power or spell by which the supposed assistants of the devil, witches, and sorcerers have been supposed to do wonderful things. It's a spell or an enchantment. Now, I want you to see what the King James Bible has. And then I want you to see, should I question whether this is real or not? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you question whether there's demonic activity today, if you question whether there are really devils out there working against, if you question, then you are questioning the King James Bible, and I'm going to prove that to you today. I'm going to prove that you are resting the scriptures, and you are ignoring what God has said, and you are ignoring God's warnings completely. And and probably 90% of churches have never preached on this before at all, never talk about it at all, never want to delve into it at all. And it's sad, it's unfortunate, because there's a lot of people that are being swayed out there. There's some people that could be reached for the Lord out there, that could be called to repentance out there, if some of God's people knew the Bible better. You think about that. Exodus chapter 7, verse number 11. I want you to go there. Exodus chapter 7. I believe that Egypt at this time was the seat of the spirit of Babylon, the spirit of whoredoms, the spirit of witchcraft at this time when is it, hey, do you find this shocking at all? That when the spirit of witchcraft and whoredoms and that the secret of the arcane and all those things was in Egypt, where did God put his prophet? Right there. Right there in the midst of it. I think it's funny, well not funny, but ironic, that there's a witch's coven here. Coven, right, Brother Nate? Coven. That's how you say that word. Say that right, or Brother Nate's a grammar Nazi over there, the speech Nazi over there. He'll be making fun of me. He'll break a list out of them to make fun of me about here. But anyway, don't worry. I have a lot of people doing that. I don't like the way you say that. I don't care. Anyway, but never had before. Won't bother me too soon. But there are this witch's coven here has done what? It has produced 35 others or more. So God put us right smack dab here. Yeah, that didn't last very long. Exodus chapter 7, verse number 11. Here's where the seed of witchcraft was at the time. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. Notice they took an object and turned it into an accursed thing. In verse number 11, what'd they do? Well, Moses threw a rod down, Aaron threw a rod down. What happened? It turned into a serpent. So they said, oh yeah, watch that. We can do this. Okay, so they took an object that was a staff. All right? They threw it down, and what did it become? A serpent. Now, let me ask you a question about that. Would that be a cursed object? Would that be an object that was given, that devils had to be into to be able to use it like that, to be able to perform that? Yeah. It would. So what did they use? They used the aid of devils to charge that object and to make that do that, make that turn into that. What is that? It's witchcraft. That's what it is. See, I'm not comfortable with that. Well, I'm not either. That's why I'm fighting it. You get it? That's why I'm trying to wake you up to see that we're in a war against it. That's why we go out. Did you think we just went out to preach to try to win people to the Lord in the sense of that they're living all these neat and pretty lives and nobody has any problems and nobody's stuck in witchcraft and nobody's stuck in sorcery and nobody's following the devil and nobody's stuck in the cults? No, that's what most of them are. Most of America today is stuck into those things. You're living in Babylon right now here. Modern day Babylon right here. I'm not saying it's the official Babylon. It's an arm of it, though. I will tell you that. It's definitely an arm of Babylon. You bet. Exodus chapter 7, we see there, Moses and Aaron went in, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers, now the magicians of Egypt. They also did in like manner with their enchantments. What does that mean? The same thing. They had that charged object. They threw it down there, turned into a serpent. They say, see, I got this. This is no problem, the magician said. Now I want you to turn to Exodus chapter, stay in Exodus here, and verse number 20. We'll go to 19 where it explains it. And the Lord spake unto Moses, say unto Aaron, take thy rod and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that they may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. What does it say in verse number 22? And the magicians of Egypt did so with their enchantments. So they used enchantments the same way that you would use a charged object or a cursed object would be. And what did they cause? They did the same miracle, so to speak. They cursed the water and turned it into blood. Why? Because they had the power of devils to do it. They used the power of devils to do it. Is it any wonder when you trace back Egyptian magic and other things like that, you see just a very, a wicked time basically in that land. But all of the wickedness that we see, it really traces its roots back to Egypt and old Egyptian magic. It's where we find a lot of it. We find, why? Because it was the power source there. And God was going to show, I'm going to go into that haven of witchcraft, and I'm going to raise my prophet up, and he's going to pull my people out of Babylon. That's what he's going to do. And that's what he did. And that's what God is doing today. He's calling a remnant of people out of Babylon.
Amen.
Come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her deeds. Amen? He's calling them out. Calling them to start, hey, you know what? Get out of your Hollywood mentality and start seeing the truth all around you. Break the bonds of those things and get freed from those things and follow the Lord. Amen. So what do we see? We see the magicians of Egypt, they did so with their enchantments. Same thing, same power. Now move on to Exodus chapter 8. I want to show you again. Exodus chapter 8. Verse number 6. We see again. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs upon the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice. So we see in that was verse number 7. The frogs, the magicians, they did the same thing. How'd they do that? Power of devils. They cursed it and brought up frogs. Verse number 18. The Bible says that Moses, in verse number 17, that Moses and them, they caused lice in the land, right? And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. There's a point where Satan's power is not as mighty as God's, obviously, and God's not going to let him go any further. And these magicians, they couldn't go any further. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. Wait a minute. These are wizards. Okay, these are magicians. These are enchanters. These are devil-possessed men that said, hey, that's it, Moses. Or that's it, Pharaoh. This is the finger of God. We can't do anything else. We're done. This has exhausted our resources. We can't go any further. Why? Because the power of God is always greater than the devil. There is no equal to God. There is no equal to God's power. Satan is not the counterpart to God. There is no counterpart to God. God has all power. He's omnipotent. Do you see why you cannot lose this spiritual battle if you follow God's battle plan? Do you understand why devils will be submissive under your feet? Do you understand why that wicked serpent will be under your feet? Do you understand because you serve an omnipotent God, and if you follow Him and you do not let any of these accursed things touch you, that they cannot touch you, and God will give you His power and His protection, and none of these things shall harm you? None of them. Why? Because the power of God, that's why. By the way, it's important to note that enchanters are an abomination unto the Lord. That means He abhors them. He hates them. And He has a great detestation and hatred towards them. What are those? They're people who charm or delight. They have charms or delight with what they do. They have hidden charms. We'll talk about that in a second. Magical type. You ever heard of Lucky Charms? Why are they magically delicious? Huh? Don't laugh. They're magically delicious. How many of us have bought those and brought them into our home, though? Now, let me ask you a second. The Bible says the fools make a mock of sin. Right? So what am I doing? Oh, that's not real magic. Is it? I don't know. How in the world could Christians look at a box of cereal that says that they're magically delicious and have little leprechauns on there and their little witchcraft stuff, and we just be like, oh, whatever. Maybe there is some charm to that. Huh? Oh, come on, preacher, that's not real. You know what? My Bible says to abstain from all appearance of evil. Is magic evil? And I'm sure there'll be somebody on the internet that's going to be like, he's going nuts. He's talking about Lucky Charms. You know what? I don't care what you think. You should know that already. I really don't care. I'm going to laugh. And when you make a video about that, it'll be funny. I'll probably watch it. But anyway, I don't care what you think. I care about abstaining from all appearance of evil. And if magic is evil, if God says he hates it, he abhors it, he detests it, he doesn't only say that about it. He says you're supposed to too. Amen. He says it's the point of the matter, isn't it? What I put in front of my kids and act like is okay, what will they do with that one day? Think about it. Deuteronomy 18:11. Bible, God says, or a charmer or a consulter with familiar spirits or wizard or necromancer. Supposed to stay away from them. God said about charmers, he said in Psalm 58:5, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Isaiah 19:3, and the spirit of Egypt shall fail in the midst thereof, and I will destroy the counsel thereof, and they shall seek to the idols and to the charmers and to them that have familiar spirits and to the wizards. That's not supposed to be us. That's the world. That's not us. Amen. We stand opposed to those things. We stay away from those things. What does that mean to charmers? It's one that charms or has power to charm, one that uses or has the power of enchantment. So the first thing that we have to look at here is that in the scriptures we see that there are people that have power. There are devils. There are people out there that are witches and enchanters, and they have power to charge objects with spirits, or they work with spirits. Okay? Now, really, those devils have power over them. They don't realize that, though, okay? Most people think in their mind that handle witchcraft and things, they believe that they have the power. If they do everything right, if they do it the right way, then the devils won't have any power over them. That's what they believe. Okay? They believe that if they do everything right, that those devils can't impact them. They can't influence them. That's not true. Or they can't overcome them. Because when Satan is done with you, he will destroy you. Amen. You are a useful idiot for the devil. Do you understand that? Anybody that's involved with witchcraft or anything else, all you are is a useful idiot for Satan to destroy. He will use your body because devils don't have the bodies to like that. So they will use your body, destroy you, and help deliver you to a devil's hell. He will destroy you. Look at every major movie star and everything else that dealt with witchcraft and everything. What did they end up? In a horrible, horrific, awful death. Look at rock stars, the ages that they die. Why? Because the devil uses them for a useful idiot, and then he gets rid of them when he's done with them. Right? High-level Shriner. Yeah. Understand there are many witches. There are many witches out there today, and they do charge certain objects. I'm gonna kind of show you a little bit of that here, just so you understand that you gotta be careful what you take into your home. Now we're gonna talk about that the next hour, but you gotta be careful what you allow to have in your home, what you take from people, what you just think about it, what you allow, you know, into your house. We'll talk about it a little bit later though. I want to keep moving on here. Listen, I want you to understand one thing: Satan cannot curse you if you're saved, but you can curse you. Do you understand that? Because the Bible says no weapon formed against you will succeed if you're following the Lord. What happens though? Satan learned a valuable lesson very, very early on. He learned that, yeah, I can get man to curse themselves. Don't believe it? Well, just go to Adam and Eve in the garden. He didn't curse. He didn't put a curse on Eve, did he? What did he do? He talked the blessed of the Lord to curse themselves. Don't you get it? You think he's going to show up with a pitchfork and look like a scary red suited? I'm not going to say it. I was going to say it, but I'm not going to say it. You know what I'm talking about? A devil with a pitchfork. I was going to mention a street preacher, but I'm not going to. Yeah, but and that dresses in a pitchfork with a horns and it's weird, but anyway, Satan's not going to show up like that. We think that that's how he's going to show up in this big. No, that's not how he does things. And no, you're right. He's not going to be able to curse you. He can't. If you're saved, that's right, Balaam. I'm going to talk about that right now, actually. Thanks a lot, Brother Nate. Good segue. Numbers chapter 22, verse number 41. I want to show you that. Satan can't curse you directly if you're a child of God. What does he do then? He does what he did to Adam and Eve. He talked them into cursing themselves. Yea, hath God said? So he got her to question God's word, and what did she do? She took the fruit, and she ate of it, and gave it unto her husband, and what was she? Cursed! Cursed be the ground for man's sake. Amen? Brought death in. And he didn't curse her. But he talked her into cursing herself. He tricked her. You know what? God's people today, I think they're allowing curses and things into their home, and it's affecting their home. And they don't even know it. In fact, I don't even think it. I know it. You know what I did yesterday and the day before? Took two big garbage bags full of stuff that I had in my house. Toys and everything else that we had not gone through in a very long time that had things on them that weren't right, was connected to anything that I didn't think was biblical, and I chucked them. They're sitting out. I would burn them, but they're plastic. It's kind of hard to burn plastic in a city. Good night. But if Lee was there, we would have done it at midnight or something. Just poof. But anyway. But I got two big garbage bags and they're sitting out there outside of my house because I don't want it in my house. Amen. I don't want it in my house. You say, isn't that extreme? Yeah, I hope so. I hope it is. Because I want to be extreme. I really do. See, I don't frown on that extreme. That's extreme. Good. I'm glad you noticed. Good. I want to be extreme. I do. I want to be like Caleb when the Bible says, and he wholly followed the Lord his God. And you know what he did? He defeated giants. I want you to think about that. He wholly followed the Lord his God. And what did he do? He defeated giants. He said, I got it, Moses. I'm 80 years old. I'm going up that mountain, and I'm going to tear them all up. Think about it. Oh, come on. Just go back to living that bland old Christian life that's just the American Christianity. Don't make a ruckus. Fill your church up with people. Put your strict suit and tie back on. No offense, I'm not against the suit and tie. But put it all back on and just be a strict old fundy and do everything else like they do and sing the same songs and go about the same garb. Why? For what? For emptiness? For nothing? To be popular? Why? It's ridiculous. They're not in a battle with anybody. But the other big mega church that they're trying to battle to cross bus lines over and take their buses over and fight each other. Right? It's sad that it's true, isn't it? Yeah. Crossing into other people's territories and battling different churches and everything for bus route. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Anyway, Numbers chapter 22, verse number 41. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the utmost part of the people. He took him to the high place. How about that? We know about those, don't we? Took him up to the high place. Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel, but he could not curse what God had blessed. So Balaam started thinking. He tried many times over, but everything that came out of his mouth was a blessing. So he said, you know what? Here's the thing. I can't curse them, okay? But you know what? We can get them to curse themselves. So turn to Numbers chapter 23, verse number 22. So what did they use? They used women. That's what they used. Sorry. They used women. Right? They invited them to their feast, and they were big, wicked, fornicating parties. I'll put it that way. It's the best way I can put that. Okay? That's the kind of parties they were having. And they invited them, and they bewitched them. The Bible says here in Numbers chapter 23, verse number 22, God brought them out of Egypt. He hath, as it were, strength of a unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to his time, it shall be said of Jacob and Israel, what hath God wrought? Now, Numbers chapter 25, Israel cursed himself. And Israel abode in Shittim, and people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. Look at that. They committed whoredom. Right there, what did he do? I can't get them. You can't do this. But Balaam said, you know what? I'll tell you what you can do. You get those women out there. You get them drinking and banging to this feast and everything. And you get them all worked up. And guess what? It'll be fine. You'll accomplish what you want to. You'll destroy Israel. They'll curse themselves. Because their God will bring punishment upon them for their sins. And then they're cursed. See? Guess what happens to God's people? Satan can't curse you. So what does he do? He uses the world, the flesh, and the wicked spirits and devils. And what do? They tempt you. And they place things in front of you. And they put you in places. And they speak things into your ears. And they tempt you. To do what? To curse yourself. So you curse yourself. That's what you do. Numbers 25, and Israel abode, and it says here in verse number 2, and they called the people unto the sacrifices of their gods. And the people did eat and bowed down to their gods. So there's food, false gods, and then the whoredom starts. And Israel joined himself unto Baal Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, take all the heads of the people and hang them up before the Lord against the sun, that the fierce anger of the Lord may be turned away from Israel. Israel, they caused the plague. What were plagues? The Bible says they were curses, right? So he got them to curse himself, so the plague started. Now there was a valiant man that came in there and stopped it. He took a big old javelin spear and he went, and he threw it through that, and it hit that lady through her belly and struck the other guy through his and killed them both. He nailed them dead because it stopped the plague because God was going to kill them all. I mean, how many times did God say, Moses, get out of my way, I'm going to kill them all? It was like 3 or 4 times. Moses, get out of my way, I'm going to kill them all. Moses, get out of my way, I'm going to kill them all. I'll start over with you. I can't take these people anymore. I'm just going to kill them all. They're wicked. Well, he could take them, but they were wicked. And he said, I'm going to destroy them. Amen? So you're right when people say that witches and Satanists can't directly curse you. You're right that it'll have any bearing on you. But guess what? If you invite it into your home, if you touch the unclean thing, if you have a part of it, then they're not cursing you. You're cursing yourself. And God's people are cursing themselves when they don't know what they're messing with. They don't know what they've been playing with. They don't know what's in their home. Well, let me ask you a question. You've seen that there. Are there enchanters today? Are there really people that charge objects today? Are there witches out there that charge objects and get Christians to buy them? Well, yes, there are. There are quite a few. I'm going to read you a few. Went from the scriptures, which is our authority, and now I'm going to read you some things modern day. So you understand, this is real today. And there are people that really hate God that much, and they hate the kingdom of God that much, and they hate Christians that much. Because they're satanically led. On a website here, for this, it says, an amulet is an object usually small in size intended to bring good luck. By the way, don't talk about good luck. There's no such thing as good luck. Don't tell people good luck. Tell them I'll pray for you. I pray God's will for you. I pray this is the Lord's will. But don't tell people good luck. That's wicked. We don't believe in luck. That's Lucifer. We don't believe in that. All right? It's wicked. Don't do that. All right, anyway. Good luck and or protection to its owner. Or any object believed to hold magical properties that can protect against bad luck, illness, and evil. It may be used for specific purposes or just for general good luck. Potential amulets include gems, crystals, simple stones, statues, coins, drawings, diagrams, pendants, rings, plants, animals, even words. They are often worn as a necklace on a pendant, although they can be worn anywhere. The closer to the body they are worn, the more powerful their magic is believed to be. You see, this is from a witch's website. So you say, why are you reading that? So you understand there's people really doing this today. Because most Christians don't believe it happens. I want to talk to you about a talisman. Then I'm going to show you Joseph Smith had a talisman. You know who Joseph Smith is? He was the satanic witch that was the founder of the Mormon movement. Okay? A talisman is also an object that possesses magical or supernatural power. And there is much debate on the exact difference between an amulet and a talisman. Some argue that the power of a talisman is of a greater magnitude, or that a talisman is able to be magically charged and to transmit its power to its owner or wielder, or that of a talisman is used for specific rather than general purposes. They are usually more complicated affairs than amulets, often often involving carved or engraved figures or bearing magical symbols or inscriptions in gold, etc. Generally, talismans are not worn, but they may be carried in a pocket or a purse. Now, it's said that Smith carried his in his pocket. We're going to get to him in a second. You wonder why Smith had this charm. Listen. You wonder why he had this charm over people. Man, you got to have some charm if you can walk in and steal men's wives. Because, let me tell you, I would probably blow you through the other side of the door if you tried that with me. All right? Because that man would forcibly go into people's houses and he would steal their women and they would let him do it. Do you understand that? Now, is that because it was just all of himself? No. He was a witch. He was a high-level mason. He was a witch. He was many other things. But go ahead and just live blind and think it's all, oh no, wasn't that, really? It's amazing, brother. It's amazing how blind people are to the truth. They don't really believe this book. They don't believe the Bible. God shows them these things are real and they say, oh, I don't need to know that. I want to concentrate on good things. I just want the good stuff. Just teach me the good stuff. I'm trying to. That's right. They're usually more complicated affairs than amulets. Okay, he talks about that. Generally, talismans are not worn. They're carried in a pocket or purse or kept near the object they're intended to benefit. Tacked over a child's bed? Ugh. When linked with an appropriate spell, they greatly increase its strength, although they can also be used alone and their intrinsic magic is considered powerful. Do you think these guys are just making this up, or you think they've experienced this power before? Well, let me ask you something. Have you experienced the power of God before? The power of the Lord Jesus Christ? I have. And I have to believe they've experienced the power of their God, Satan. Okay? I'm going to read right now, since we're talking about these houses, I'm going to read you an account of Joseph Smith here. Because I think people think that Joseph Smith was just like, he was just kind of a pretty charming guy on his own. And he was able to just, listen, this guy didn't know anything. I'm going to tell you, like literally, he was dumb. He was dumber than a box of rocks, okay? He had to have demonic power to do what he did. Because there's no way that guy could have done anything. He had nothing. And he certainly didn't have the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was a blasphemer. And he was a wicked devil. A Jupiter's talisman was found on the body of the murdered Joseph Smith. Its discovery and significance can be attributed to an LDS scholar, Reed Durham, in his paper, Is There No Help for the Widow's Son? Well, that's an interesting phrase. That's a Masonic phrase. That's the Masonic distress, what is it called? The Masonic distress sign? They do a call out. Is there no help for the widow's son? That's for Masons to help him, and they all shot him, actually. Masons are the ones that killed him, by the way. Because he took their secrets and created the Mormon church. And you're not allowed to take the secrets and take them away from Masonic lodges and create your own thing. You weren't allowed to do that. He did that. He got so caught up in his devils that he got carried away. Anyway, so a talisman is a magical artifact believed to possess certain virtue and power. Talismans can be made of cloth, parchment, or metal and are designed to be worn or carried by the sorcerer as a kind of sophisticated good luck charm. The talismans are usually inscribed with either miniature magic circles or magic squares, and usually with sigils. I don't know what that is. A sigil, he's going to explain it. A sigil is a strange, often jagged line, which is made by tracing out the name of a devil, a spirit, or genius, as they are sometimes called in high magic, on the magic square appropriate to that spirit. In the case of a Jupiter talisman, an owner would trace out the name on a Jupiter square, which would be 4x4 squares. The resulting tracing was then transposed under the talisman and was believed to be afforded the magician's absolute control over the devil. Joseph Smith's talisman was a coin inscribed with a magic square in Hebrew on one side, 4x4, and sigils on the other side. Except for one character, it is identical to the magic talisman found in Francis Barrett's classic work, The Magus. Or is it The Magus? I don't know. Which was published and available to Smith. LDS author Michael Quinn notes that Smith's governing astrological sign was indeed Jupiter. So it wasn't an accident. He played with astrology too. So his using the Jupiter talisman had made eminently good sense. It is ironic to note that the talisman Smith chose there are many Jupiter talismans for different uses, was designed especially to give him success with women and popularity and charm in general. Are you listening? Considering Smith's involvement in polygamy with more than 24 wives to whom the church will admit, actually there were more, it is no wonder that he appreciated such a magical aid. He needed to be popular with women in order to continue to add wives to his celestial harem. Additionally, he probably needed all the charm he could muster to keep various irate husbands, brothers, and fathers from doing him grave bodily violence. Yeah, like shooting him, which ended up happening to him. Quinn's research is especially damning because he notes that the inscription on the talisman owned by Smith indicated its use in ceremonies of spirit conjuration. So conjuring up devils. The classic and formidable grimoire, The Key of Solomon, defined the talisman's use strictly for ceremonial magic. Now, ceremony magic is just about the most advanced form of magic practiced in the past 1,000 years. It is not a form of magic art for dabblers. The Key of Solomon is a ponderous and exacting manual of complex ceremonies for the most potent and dangerous forms of ceremonial magic. It is highly unlikely that Smith would have either that understanding to access to such a talisman or wear it unless he himself was a ceremonial magician or wizard. There's no way. This would indicate, when added to the many other advanced evidences, that Smith's involvement in the occult was both broad and profound. In those days, especially before the advent of the popular mass market paper books, to acquire and study these rare and dangerous volumes required real determination and skill. This evidence indicates that Smith was a dedicated and determined student of the black arts, perhaps even a master magician. And why shouldn't he have been? His entire family was steeped into the hell broth of magic. With all the evidence against him, Smith can thank his lucky stars, he puts them in quotes, he's making fun of them, that he was not born during the time of the Mosaic Law instead of the dispensation of grace. His prophetic career would have been cut mercifully short than it was. He had shown up with his peepstones or his talisman in Moses' or Joshua's day, he would have been executed on the spot. The application of one single verse would have saved millions of Mormons from hell down through the years. Thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. So, yes, they're real, okay? That makes a lot of sense why that guy had so much sway. Yep. That is from Decker's Complete Handbook on Mormonism. That is a great book, by the way. Yeah, on covering Mormonism. I mean, I'm sure I don't agree with Ed Decker on other things, but as far as Mormonism goes, it's one of the complete ones on the subject. And I'm going to be preaching to you again on Mormonism sometime soon. You guys are going to be running into people out on the streets. We will always run into people that are stuck into Mormon cults. They're stuck in the JWs. They're in a lot of different things. We need to talk to those people. We need to know what we're talking about. And we need to tell them their errors, okay? And also, we need to have some CDs we can hand them and say, hey, why don't you take this home and listen to it? Amen! That's another thing that we're going to start doing, is having those CDs with us. And, excuse me, making up certain ones. Okay. Read you a little bit more here. Precious and semi-precious stones and crystals are commonly used in amulets and talismans, each stone having its specific significance of power. And amber, they say, wards off evil spirits and protects against rheumatism. This is where they get you, okay? They get people to say, oh, well, this is good for rheumatism. It wards, and really what they're doing is inviting it in. Do you understand that's how witchcraft works? Aleister Crowley talked about the opposites, you know, he talked about everything being opposite. And exactly what you can believe is about the opposite of what they do. When they say they're going to do something to help you, it's really to curse you. See, the devil's blessings are cursings. Do you understand that? That's what we don't understand. The devil's blessings are actually curses that we want nothing to do with. This lady goes on to talk about diamonds repel wild beasts and evil men and all kinds of weird stuff. I'm not going to read you all that. Different symbols and shapes are also considered to have different magical properties. For example, the shape of a bee brings success in business. A black cat is one of the best of all around charms, or good luck charms, they call it. Anything egg-shaped brings, you know, they believe fertility and things like that. Anyway, now, I want to give you another account of another lady that some people are very open. Some people say, some of these people that sell these objects, they sell them on a website called Etsy. Okay? So, they'll sell them anywhere, but I mean, they sell them on a website called Etsy, and they sell these amulets and charge objects there. And you know what? Some of them have like a Christian side to them, where they say like angels, like, this is from angel and God power. There was some guy that they said on there that they were talking about that this man, he was a man of God and he loved the Bible and everything. And this brought him a lot of good, blessings and everything. And you should buy this. And they talk Christians into buying these charged objects, bringing them in their homes and cursing their homes with them. But if God's people and God's preachers would simply just preach the word of God and warn people and say, no, don't have any little amulets and little things like that. Those are graven images. Those are wicked. They're abominations unto God. And we shouldn't have any of those things. We don't talk about it because we don't think it's that big of a deal. Oh, we're going soul winning. So everything, soul winning fixes everything. So don't worry about it. Just go soul winning. I mean, one of Jack Hiles' favorite phrases was, soul winning will fix anything in your church. No, it won't fix witchcraft in your church, Jack. It doesn't. And I have it on good authority that it doesn't fix fornication in your church either. And you know that now. Anyway. This person says here that she casts blessings. Listen to this. She says, for years I have cast blessings and spells on special pieces of my own jewelry, always with amazing results. And once in a while, a surprise here or there. Each piece of jewelry, I don't know what that means, by the way. I don't know if I want to. But each piece of jewelry sold here will have a powerful and unique spell placed upon it. For those unfamiliar with witchcraft, you should know that a cast spell does not mean an instant miracle. Miracles come from a higher source. Who's the higher source? Yeah. See, they got to hide something, don't they? Oh, we'll tell you where our miracles come from. They're not cursings. They're blessings from God. But their miracles, so to speak, are cursings from Satan. They don't want to tell you it's from Lucifer. Instead, spells direct energy. Remember, how many people do you hear, Paul, out on the street? There's something wrong with your energy. Man, you got something wrong with your aura. I don't want to talk to you. Yeah, exactly. That would be a good reason, right? What's weird to you? That's right. So he says, instead, spells direct energy for particular purposes, which works towards creating change in your life, reaching goals, fixing problems, finding solutions. This is how real magic works. Do you see how absolutely deceptive that is? Do you understand there are people that are caught up into this stuff and they're dying and going to hell because of it? And they think it has some spiritual Christian tint to it, flair to it or whatever, flavor to it. A spell or blessing is placed on an object by gathering and using various ingredients that are in correspondence. I'm not going to tell you what they are or anything like that, but they do all that. A ritual is performed with these items at the correct, listen to this, and don't say this stuff either if you people are out there saying that. A ritual is performed with these items at the correct moon phase and with the correct astrological correspondence. This is what creates the energy that needs to cast the spell. Some people talk about, oh, do this at the full of the moon. Don't talk like that. That is witchcraft. Don't say things like that. It's witchcraft. It's not Bible, okay? It's not biblical to say that it's witchcraft to talk like that. Yeah, exactly. It's witchcraft. Along with physical ingredients, they say, for a spell, certain god and goddesses may be invoked. They're demons. They're devils. Okay, they're telling you these god and goddesses what they really are. Okay, they're really devils. Okay, they're really fallen angels, false spirits. They're wicked, and people are trapped into this stuff. Okay? Do you see how wicked and crafty Satan is, though? Oh, yeah, I've got to read you this, too, so you understand this. And then we're almost done with this one here. She says here, now bringing you some of the world's most potent and powerful metaphysical artifacts, specializing in only unique and original pieces, haunted artifacts, rare and hard to find, or highly sought after items. We have genie, witchcraft items, voodoo dolls, haunted items, occult items, holy, listen to this, holy and angelic items. Yeah, it sounds like a prayer cloth from TBN, that's right. Amen, that's right. But do you see what they're doing? Do you see how they're mixing the holy with profane? And do you see how God's people say nothing about it? Vampire artifacts, werewolves, dark and white light items to suit all your needs. Some other items we may get in stock include Ouija boards. By the way, these are cursed objects that I'm going to tell you about here. By the way, they sell Ouija boards at Target and places like that. You understand that, right? Toys R Us. Yeah, Toys R Us sells a pink Ouija board. Probably a Hello Kitty. Hello Kitty? Right, all cartoon. Why? Well, instituting you into witchcraft, initiating you early into witchcraft. But preacher, you ain't got nothing to preach about. Just shut up and don't talk about that stuff, okay? Just let the world go to hell and don't mention anything like that. I'm so tired of people thinking you're not supposed to preach on things that need to be preached on. If it's in this book, it needs to be preached on. Plain and simple, it does. It's just ridiculous. Oils, incense, herbs, spells, jewelry, and such ring amulets, charms, necklaces, pendants, tarot cards, everything that's on an accursed list that I'm going to give you later is pretty much what this lady sells, okay? Just so you know. But you know, they do sell kiddie versions of these things. They put them in stores and cute little things, and your kids walk around with amulets on. And your kids walk around with little pictures, little charge objects around, and they walk around and they don't have any idea that these symbols and all these things, that's what they're wearing. That's what they have on their body. It's just like most of the t-shirts that you see today. Yeah, they sell 25-cent witchcraft. You just go there and set little 25 cents in that little thing, a little plastic bubble comes out. Boom, your kid's wearing an accursed object walking around with it. Oh, preacher, don't make such a big deal about it. I know I shouldn't. It's not that big of a deal, is it? It should be. It's okay to advertise for Satan if you're a Christian, right? Think about it. I want to read you a story here. Then we're done. With this one, anyway. I want to read you about a man named Dr. Lamb. This is back in the 1650s. A preacher named Richard Baxter was a very well-known preacher in England. Okay, he wrote a book called The Saint's Everlasting Rest. He wrote about this. He documented this because you know what he had a problem with? I don't have time to read you this entire introduction. But Nate, you know what? Seriously, I could read this. And if we had time, we could read the entire introduction just to tell people that what he was basically saying is what I'm saying to you now. Now, he was saying that basically nobody in England believes this is real. Okay? Nobody in the world believes this stuff is really happening. Okay? So I'm documenting this because I want them to understand that all of this, there's a spiritual fight here. There's a spiritual war going on here. And he said, by the way, I have a friend that's over in England, and you pray for Brother Lewis, can you pray for him? But he told me about a lot of demonic activity that's over there in England right now. I don't know what it is. It's that old world Europe. I don't know what it is, but it is some wicked stuff. I mean, it happens here too, but over there, man, it is just some strange, strange stuff over there. All right? But I want to read you, and this is just one account. There's a whole book full of them. You can get this book free on Google Books, okay? It's free. But listen to this. Dr. Lamb, who was killed by the mob for a conjurer about 1540. So this Dr. Lamb was, he conjured up spirits. Okay, he was a wicked guy. So this pastor is recording this. He's trying to explain this. Met one morning Sir Miles Sands and Mr. Barber in the street and invited them to go and drink their morning draught at his house. What's their morning draught? Is that coffee? I don't know what that is. I don't know. Anyway, or is that liquor? I don't know what that is. Anyway. If Lewis was here, he could tell me what it is, probably. Probably still drank drought, I don't know, at his mouth. Discoursing about his art, so he's talking about his witchcraft, all right? He told them if they would hold their tongues and their hands from meddling with anything, he would show them some sport. So he's like, I'm going to show you some magic tricks. That's pretty much what he's saying, okay? So falling to his practice, in the middle of the room springs up a tree. Soon after appeared three little fellows with axes on their shoulders and baskets in their hands, who presently fell to work, cut down the tree, and carried all away. Mr. Barber, observing one chip to fall on his velvet coat, he slips it into his pocket that night. So he slips it into his pocket and he left. He took that little wood chip and he left. That night, when he and his family were in bed and asleep, all the doors and the windows in the house opened and clattered so as to awaken and affright them all. His wife said, "Husband, you told me you was at Dr. Lamb's this day, and I fear you meddled with something." Wait a minute, husband, something ain't right here. My windows are flapping. I mean, everything in the house is going like this. Flap, 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 windows going up and down, or you know, and everything was just going crazy. Something's wrong, husband. He replied, "Husband, you told me that I fear you meddled with something." He replied, "I put a chip in my pocket." "I pray you," said she, "fling it out, or we shall have no quiet." He did so, and all the windows and doors were presently shut and all quiet, so they went to sleep. Dr. Barber and Major John Barber, who married my only sister, told me this relation, who had it again and again from their father and mother, and I know no reason to doubt the truth of it. This Mr. Barber laid the first stone in the building of the building that they did. So anyway, so what is he saying here? He's saying he took that chip, which was, what did the Bible say? We're going to talk about this the next hour. Anything used in occult practices should not be in your home. Okay? He took that chip and he stuck it in his pocket and he took it home with him. What was it? It was an accursed thing. And what did he do? He brought it in his home. What happened? Satanic activity. Right? Now, I've showed you from the scriptures, I've showed you from some history, there's many more that can be shown that these, that charged objects are real and they do happen. I'm going to talk to you about what those objects are and what you should, you and I should not have in our homes and how we should rid our homes. In the next message, it's called spiritual spring cleaning. Amen? And like always, when the Lord leads me to preach on something, He leads it for me first. And I did mine. Amen? I took two garbage bags full of stuff. We went through all of them. All the kids went out there. They gathered up all the stuff they could find. I said, okay, let's get rid of it. There's going to be some surprises when I tell you some of the things, because you're not going to believe it probably, but it is what it is. Amen? All right. Father, we pray, Lord, that this would help some out there and in here, Lord, that we would hear this truth and be ready to receive it. And Lord, if there is things that we don't have right, we don't want to curse things in our home. Dear God, deliver us from evil. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.